For everybody else, we're going to be opening up to Matthew and Joshua this morning. My children have been mocking me a little bit. I might have to sit down. I'm going to try this. I hurt my hip somehow. I got a muscle, weird muscle. I've never even heard of this muscle. I'm pretty sure the doctor's making it up. But it hurts to stand after a little bit. It's like, wow, this is painful. So I'm going to sit down. On my list of things, my kids are like, dude, you're turning 50, Dad. Pastor Adam has been like, hip replacement surgery guy, come on. I'm like, stop. Just stop. And my kids are all like making fun of me. I'm like, no, it's a pulled muscle. Runners get this muscle. They hurt this muscle. Runners, people who exercise, this is what happens to them. So on my list of things, this was not on it. I'm like, nope, this is not one of those things I want to have. But we're going to start off this morning talking about the list. And we had been looking for a car, and we had a list of things we wanted. My list was things like, it doesn't smell funny, runs more than 150 miles, so that was a list. My wife's list, part of her list was, my head isn't too close to the ceiling. She doesn't like that. So she didn't like to feel claustrophobic in the car. Like long trips, so we liked long trips, wanted to run. So we had a list. I didn't realize I had a list when I was a young college student and hoping to get married someday. I didn't realize I had a list until I met Levita the first time, and we were talking, and she walks away, and I thought to myself, well, she's not irritating. So not being irritating was on my list, and I didn't realize it was on my list until she walked away. I was like, hey, she's kind of nice, I guess. Yeah, she's not irritating. She had a list, too. It involved things like handsome, funny, not smelly, so things like that, but we have a list, and believe it or not, actually, we're going to talk about, because God has a list of what he's looking for in people, and Jesus kind of summarizes it nicely. So if you look at Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37, says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I love that statement. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what Jesus is saying there, he says, when I read my Bible, so Jesus had what we call the Old Testament. So when I look at the Old Testament, when I read that, go back to that verse. When I read my Bible, this is what I see. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what I see. That's what Scripture is telling me. He's saying all the law of the prophets, all of it, hangs on these two commandments. It's all speaking that message. And so what I want to do this morning is we're actually going to take a couple stories from the book of Joshua. And we're going to kind of set them side by side and look at them. Say, how are these showing us loving God with all that we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves? I hope this is going to be as fun for you as it is for me. So like the first service, I had to restrain myself and not get a little too Bible nerdy, get a little too excited, because then we would have run into out of time, and then I wouldn't have made it here. And so this morning, I got all the time. Pastor Dave, my mom, she watches the service. She says, well, he preaches for like an hour at least. So I got an hour, right? Yeah. My kids are like, no, please don't. But what does this look like? So what I want to do here is, so we're going to go to the book of Joshua. And before we go to the book of Joshua, or on our way to the book of Joshua, I want to kind of give you some perspective on the book of Joshua. So there's the next slide there about Joshua. So I made a typo there. It's the sixth book, not the fifth book of the Bible. And so you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So within the Christian tradition, we call this a book of history, because we see that all that history, is leading up to and culminated in Jesus and the work on the cross. And then moving forward into the present day, as he's working through his church and the Holy Spirit is working through us, his people. And so we refer to it as a book of history. The downside of that, and I've experienced this downside myself, is because when we refer to it as a book of history, there is the possible trap of thinking of it as just history, of just information. Is this is what has happened. But it's actually, I mean, this is more than just history. So within the Jewish tradition, this is actually, Joshua is the first book of prophecy. Within the Hebrew Bible, they refer to Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings as the former prophets, and then they have Isaiah, Jeremiah, or the latter prophets. And so this is a book of prophecy because they see God is working through his people, and this is kind of showing people living day-to-day lives either following what God has commanded or not following what God has commanded. And so when Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, he's talking about the law, the first five books of the Bible, which they'd call the Torah, or we call the Pentateuch, the books of the law, all the law, and the prophets, like starting from Joshua. All of this speaks to loving God with all that we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so as we look at these two stories from Joshua, I want us to ask ourselves, how is this demonstrating how we should be loving God and loving others? So, whoops, pardon me. I've got the verses on the back here. And so as we approach this, I'm going to like read sections of scripture and summarize some because we'd be here a long time if I tried reading them all. But just a little backstory to make sure we're all on the same page here. So back in Genesis, Abraham was called by God to go to a land that he'd show him, and God took him to the land of Canaan. And God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, but this is in the future. The sin of the people living in this land has not gotten really bad yet, and it's going to get bad. And so as you read, Abraham has kids and goes on and on, and his family, his great-grandchildren end up slaves in Egypt. And God calls them out of Egypt, that's the book of Exodus, calls them out of Egypt to lead them to this land that he's going to give them. And as you're reading that, as you're studying that and kind of like in your Bibles, it mentions these people living in the land, the Canaanites. So you get to the beginning of Joshua and you know a couple things. And these are broad generalizations, but the Canaanites are bad. But simply put, and as you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it tells some of the stuff. It describes some of the sacrifices they would make. They sacrificed their own children into the fire. It says, just talks about them being bad. In fact, God tells the people of Israel, don't be like the Canaanites. Don't act like them. Don't follow their gods. I am driving them out because of what they've done. If you act like them, I will drive you out as well. Don't do it. So you're like, okay, entering Joshua, Canaanites are bad, Israel is good. They're the good guys and the bad guys. It's a pretty simple storyline. And they're headed into the land. But as we dive into Joshua, it's a little more interesting than that. And kind of, as we look at these stories, like, oh, okay, what is this telling us? So we're going to do this. So the first one is Rahab. So Rahab's story happens in Joshua chapters 2, in Joshua chapter 6. And the other story is about a guy named Achan. And his story happens in Joshua 7. And so these two stories aren't often put together. In fact, I wouldn't have known to put them together except I was given an assignment where the professor said, take these two stories and study them and look at them and put them together. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is interesting. This is really good stuff. And so as we do this, I want to point out a few things. So there are people in here who are starting to get hot, and the air conditioning control or the fan is right there in front of you. So you can turn that on. I see people out there, and they're like, I see a little of this going on, and like, don't want that. So Joshua chapter 2. Like I said, I'm going to read a little bit, so Logan will try his best to follow along with me. I'm a little... It starts off, then Joshua, the son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. So, spies. It's the first thing I want you to hold on to there. So I'll do like Pastor Dave does. Everybody say spies. 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 You got to get that in your mind. Spies. He says to them, go look over the land, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho, was told, look, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they had come from. I did not know where they had come from. And so she essentially tells the king, she says, all right, here's what happened. They came, I sent them on their way, they went that way. You should send people to go that way. And so the king sent people that way. And she had actually hidden them on the roof of her house. And so it goes on to say in verse 9, I know, Rahab's talking here to the men on the roof of her house, says, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and the great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear. What an incredible word picture. Melting in fear. Okay, everybody. Melting in fear. So we've got spies and we've got melting in fear. Melting in fear because of you. We have heard about all that the Lord has done for you. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord, your God, is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brother and sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. And so if you read the rest of that narrative, it's kind of funny because they're going out the window and it's like they're hanging on a rope having a conversation with Rahab. So whether they were actually on the rope and they're having a conversation, who knows? But they're hanging out a window having a conversation where they tell her, here's what's going to happen. You want all the people you want saved, put them in your house, hang this red cord out your window, you will be saved. All who are in your house. So it goes through, the spies return to Joshua, say, the land is melting in fear because of us and what God is doing. And so Joshua 3, 4, and 5 are about the Israelites crossing into Canaan and renewing the covenant with the Lord. And then it gets to Joshua chapter 6, which is the Battle of Jericho. That is the most well-known story in Joshua. And so this is like the walls come tumbling down and all that. And so very famous story in Joshua. And so it goes through the Battle of Jericho. And you get all the way down to verse 25 of chapter 6, which says this. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. All right, here we go again. Ready? To this day. So we got spies, we have melting in fear, and we have to this day. So hold that. That's Rahab. Now we're going to take a second here and look at Achan, because Achan happens right after the Battle of Jericho. And so an important note in Joshua 6 says that all of Jericho was to be dedicated to the Lord. Everything was to be given to God. The people are to keep nothing. Did we turn on the heat instead? I can fix that in like 1 second if you need help. You got it? All right, good. Nobody wants the heat on in here. So all the things are supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And so you get to the beginning of chapter 7. It says this, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. And then it starts the story of Achan. It says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. So we have spies right at the beginning of the story again. And it goes on. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. So send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not worry about the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. So they're like, oh, hey, they're melt. This time the Israelites are melting in fear. It's not the Canaanites melting in fear. And so it goes on. So Joshua, he is kind of panicking. He falls on his face, calls the elders together. He's like praying, doing all that he needs to do. He's praying. And in verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I command them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, and they have put them with their own possessions. And so the Lord told Joshua, he's going, tomorrow you're going to gather all the people together, and I'm going to sort out the people. We're going to start by tribe, by clan, by family, until you get down to the last person. That's the person who has done this. And so, starting in verse 16 of chapter 7, it says, early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was chosen. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe of Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. And so Joshua sent some men. They went to Achan's tent. They dug it all up. They found it. And Achan and his family and all who belonged to him were stoned and burned. And it says in verse 26, over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. And so it's great because these two stories, they start with the exact same thing, spies, and end with to this day. Spies and to this day. And so the way, because the Bible is so incredible. It's Scripture describes itself as alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, it is amazing the gift we have been given in Scripture. And so one of the things that it does is as you're reading stories, it is designed in a way to get you thinking, like reflecting upon different pieces. A great example of this is when Achan's describing his sin. The way it's described is he saw it and he took it. Now, if you're thinking back in your Bible reading, your study, you're like, where else have I heard that, seeing and taking? Oh, in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, they saw the fruit and they took it. Oh, that happens other times as I'm reading different stories. They see something and they take it. It's describing this thing, this sin. And then Achan kind of, he uses a great churchy word. He said, I coveted them. And, you know, that takes us to the Ten Commandments. Like, what did God say to the people? Do not covet. He's like, I coveted. I saw it and I took it. So the Bible is designed in this way to help us kind of reflect on these different stories, different narratives, different pieces, and see what Jesus saw when he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. How are these stories teaching us what it means to follow Jesus? And so I did a little cool, if you go to the one that says Achan and Rahab, Logan, at the top of it, it says, it kind of gives this breakdown, Joshua 2 and 6, Joshua 7, they both have spies. You have Canaanites melting in fear, Israel melting in fear, and ending with to this day and to this day. I'm just kind of laying that out there for you to see that. And so what I want to do is there's three points within each of these stories that they kind of like shine light on each other. And so if you remember at the beginning, Canaanites are bad, Israelites good. And then we have these two, and this is like the first two stories of people. And what do we see in them? Well, the first thing we see is we need to choose what shapes us. You know, we do not have to be defined or limited by the situations we find ourselves in. And unfortunately, sometimes we aren't defined by situations that we should let define us or shaped by situations we should let shape us. But we'll get to that in a second. So, first one, Rahab the prostitute. So, what's the first thing we know about Rahab? She is? She's a prostitute. In fact, it's mentioned so many times in the story. Like it's mentioned, the author does not want you to forget. Rahab the prostitute. Go to Rahab the prostitute's house. Go to the prostitute's house. So they went to Rahab the prostitute's house. Even in the New Testament, in Hebrews, Rahab the prostitute, by faith, Rahab the prostitute, you know, saved the spies. You know, and so you've got this mention again and again because the narrator does not want us to forget this about her. She is in a situation. So she is, you think of entering the land of Canaan. She is the embodiment of what is wrong with the land of Canaan from the surface level. She is what's wrong. The place is messed up. They're doing everything wrong. And so they go to this house of Rahab the prostitute, and she is the bad. You know, everything about the outside says she is what we're not supposed to be a part of. And yet, she shows and acts like a person who wants something different. She is not allowing her influence from the outside to determine her future. She's like, I want something different. All she knows about God is what she's heard. So when the Israelites cross the Red Sea in Exodus, there's this thing called the Song of Miriam and the Song of Moses. And within them, it says that people will know of the great works of God by what he has done. And so it's the first person they talk to in the land of Canaan, she's like, we have heard of what the Lord has been doing. We know he is powerful. We know he is true. Please save me. She did not let these things from the outside limit what she wanted to do in her life. She recognized who God was and like, this is the path I want. This is the path I choose to take. So I've mentioned this before. Every morning when my kids, I take them to school and as I'm letting them out the door, I always tell them this. I say, I hope the day has a great you. And I tell them that because I heard it years ago and I was like, I like that. And I tell them that because we can't always control what's going to influence us, what's going to come in from the outside. But we can always control ourselves and how we respond to it. So I tell my kids, you know, you may be having a bad day, but the day does not have to have a bad you. You can influence how you respond to the things around you. And so the same thing is true as followers of Jesus. You're like Rahab, she is like in a bad situation. And because there are a lot of underlying connotations by Rahab the prostitute. And yet she sees a way to get out. And she's like, I want out. I want to be saved. And she's grasping at what she can do. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah. So, once again, he's got a title too, just like Rahab. It's a little harder for us to see because we don't kind of think in that way all the time. You know, I don't go around introducing myself as Dwayne, the son of Dwayne, the son of George, the son of George, the son of George, the son of Eldon, I think, something like that. And then there was George's before that. You know, we don't do that. But this Achan, so this is very intentional, and it's put in there, just like Rahab's story, it's put in there a bunch of times. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah. The narrator is like making sure you catch the fact that this guy has pedigree. He is of the leading tribes of Israel. He is the tribe of Judah. And he has got family connections. He has everything going for him. And yet, I mean, you think about this. He just crossed the Jordan River with the people of Israel, saw God just stop the water, they crossed. He ate the manna in the desert. We don't know how old he is, but he might have been at Mount Sinai as a child, seeing all that God was doing, seeing the water come from the rock, seeing all the miracles that God did in the desert. He was a church boy. You know, he's been in church. He knows what's going on. He's seen the miracles. He's heard the stories. He knows what he's supposed to do. And yet he is not letting the situations that should shape him, shape him. You know, he is not letting, and you know, that's a great statement for those of us, you know, in church all the time. You know, are we allowing the things that should shape us, shape us? Are we allowing them to dig deep below the surface? You know, he has everything going for him, and he knows who God is. He has seen the miracles, and yet look at how he acted. We have Rahab acting like a true Israelite. She is acting like they are supposed to act, doing what they're supposed to do. And Achan, not so much. And as you look at them side by side, an Israelite and a Canaanite, and who is the one following and being the people of God? The Canaanite. Not the Israelite. So choose what shapes you. The second thing, honor God in word and deed. So we have Rahab. She recognized what the Lord was doing. She recognized what he was doing. I mean, she says, you know, she starts citing the miracles. We know what God has been doing. We know all that he has done and will continue to do. In fact, and then she says in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, "Please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you." What's really cool about that word kindness is it's only used here in the book of Joshua. And it is the Hebrew word is chesed. And it is actually, and as you're doing Bible studies, one of the things people say is like, why do we have so many translations? Well, because the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek with a little bit of Aramaic. And so those languages don't always transfer directly into English. So we have different translations. So this is one of the verses. If you were to look at this verse in different translations will use a different word than kindness. Some will use kindness. Some will use mercy. I think the Old King James uses mercy. Could be wrong, but some will use just, I've shown you love, I've shown you grace, I've shown you goodness, because this word, chesed, is a very heavy, complicated word. It is used in Exodus chapter 20 and 34 to describe God, where it says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, abounding in chesed, that God's very nature, who he is, abounds in chesed. And so here we have Rahab, who's like, hey, I'm showing you chesed. I am showing you chesed. Will you show me chesed? Will you show me what I am showing you? She is behaving like the Israelites are supposed to behave. So God tells Abraham back in Genesis, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And the Israelites, as you read through the law and the narratives, they are told to through their behavior, what they do, how they interact with each other, that's how they honor God and show their love to God. And so here is Rahab. She's encountered somebody and she is taking the opportunity to show them that kind of love. Whereas Achan, we love Achan. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, and all that, he comes up, and I lost my place. That just is so confusing. And he does everything but show Hesed. In fact, when he is finally confronted with what he does, what he's done, he's like, hey, give recognition. In fact, if you read the story of Achan, it's really interesting because he took something at the beginning, but he's at the receiving end of everybody's actions. Everybody's leading him around throughout the story. You know, he's being chosen. He's being taken. You're taken. I'm taking this family. I'm taking that. And Achan is just kind of, until he's put in a corner and said, what did you do? And then he said, I saw it and I took it. I coveted. His behavior is not showing and doing the things that God has told his people to show and do. But instead is just the opposite of what God has told them to do. So you think about this. We think about this in relation to what Jesus says. All the law and the prophets, the people of God, the true people of God are the ones who show their behavior. Jesus worded this greatly with his disciples because he said, a new command I give to you, love each other. As I have loved you, so you love each other. As I've done it, you do it. And so you think about when Jesus reflects upon these stories and he's seen that these stories are showing how to love each other and love God. And we have Achan who's not showing that. And we have Rahab who's very much showing that. This is how we show through our words and our deeds, showing the love of God. And then we have the last one. Did it. There we go. What we do impacts others. Our actions impact others. And this is such an incredible thing in their stories. And this is actually one of the hard things people have with the story of Achan. So Rahab, what does it say? She says, you know, I have shown you kindness, now show me kindness. Spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. And so in 6:23, it goes on to say, so the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to them. Rahab's actions brought life to others. Rahab's action brought blessing to other people. I mean, I could just imagine, because it's like she says, save my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them. So I'm just like picturing this house packed full of people waiting to be saved because they're like, hey, come here, bring in the cousins, bring in it all. Let's get it all in here because we want to be saved. Her actions were saving others. Achan, on the other hand, like I said, he's kind of passive throughout the whole story. But the thing he did is he hid all this stuff in his tent. And others suffered the consequences of his sin. And you know, the thing is oftentimes we are very much individual about our following Jesus, which is, you know, is important that we are because we choose to follow Jesus with our whole lives. You know, we make the choice, like we celebrated baptism last week, people choosing to follow Jesus, that I've seen often that people forget that it may be an individual thing, but we are a community of people. We are the body of Christ. And everything we do for ill or for good affects the whole community. all that we do. And so Achan, his sin affected everybody. And this story goes out of the way to point that it's not just him that's affected. It's his whole family. Now, we don't know, you know, the stuff was buried in his tent. Did his family know about it? Did they not know about it? Who knows? But the thing that the story is trying to help us see is that he and his actions affected more than just himself. It affected everybody. God told Joshua, Israel has sinned. The whole nation is liable for this behavior. That we are all affected by the individual's actions. It affects everybody. And this is such a, you know, for the good and the bad. I mean, because Rahab, she saved her family. And so it's both hands of recognizing as followers of Jesus, everything we do, everything we are, all our interactions affect those around us. All of our interactions impact. It's such a powerful thing, the community and the power of the community, because we do have the strength to bring life and blessing here in our jobs, in our homes, in our families, in everywhere we go, of bringing that life and that blessing to the situation. I think one of the first times it ever really hit me, that idea of how important that was when I was first, I was a college student before I had the opportunity to meet the non-annoying lady. But when I was helping out at a youth group, and I mean, I was just showing up. I was this young 20-year-old guy, and I'm just showing up. And we were sitting at a youth group meeting, and the youth pastor's like, hey, you know, we want to do something. And he brought up this guy, Brandon Newby, love that kid. And he's not a kid anymore. He's got like old children. But he brought him up here. He says, who is somebody you trust? And he's like, I trust Dwayne. And I'm like, why? I hadn't been there very long. I just showed up. I was just hanging out, helping. My friend was the youth pastor. And he's like, I trust Dwayne. And I was talking. I remember talking to Thad afterwards. I was like, it's just a weird thing to me. I'm like, he's like, but you're here. You're here every week. You show up. I'm like, huh. Yeah, I guess that's important. And so it is, because as a family, being here for each other, being the blessing, being the hand of God in each other's lives, showing love. So, you know, I said at the beginning, Jesus makes this statement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. I get them all confused. Thank you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and prophets hang on these two commands. Everything that's in our Bible shows us this, how to do this. And so as we were doing this, as I was getting ready for this, I was like, you know, what do I want people to take away from this? What am I praying? God, what do you want people to hear? And then one side, for me personally, I'm like, you know, if you could get excited about reading your Bible and maybe even take a fresh perspective on it as you're reading through some of the stories, like, what is this showing me about loving God and loving others? How is this helping me do that? You know, how is this... But even just taking the story of Achan and the story of Rahab and saying, okay, am I allowing things to shape me that shouldn't be shaping me? Am I not allowing things to shape me that should be shaping me? Are my actions and deeds showing the love of God? And how am I impacting those around me? What am I doing that's impacting the community of believers, the community of Lansing, my house, my family? How are my actions positively or negatively impacting those around me? What am I doing to do this? And so what we're going to do is I want to pray for you, and I'm going to invite Rachel and Levita up. We're going to close with this song. Who You Say I Am. I love this song. This was like a really popular, in fact, a few years ago, if you ran a report on what songs we sing a lot, this was one of them. And I love this song because it's like we are not, our identity is found in Christ. And so as we approach things like this, as we approach things like Achan and Rahab, as we approach all that of saying, okay, how, you know, I do not have to be, like I said, shaped by the outside, but I can be who Christ calls me to be. I can be that person. You know, God, I am chosen, not forsaken. I'm who He says I am. I just invite you this morning to allow God to speak that to you. Maybe through this, you're like, okay, I've been doing, you know, I haven't been exactly showing God's love the way I should be. I've been allowing these things to influence me that should not be influencing me. And this morning, I just invite you, just as we sing this song, to just go to God, because He is full of chesed, loving kindness. He forgives, He strengthens, He supports us. And just this morning, just allowing God to be who He is, to be our peace and our hope and our life, and just going to Him this morning. So I just invite you to stand. I want to pray for you, and we're going to close with this song. Whoops. My music's going to die, Levita, so I'm going to have to bring that music stand over here. Thank you. Lord, thank you once again for, as we said, your loving kindness, your faithfulness, your grace, your mercy that you pour out upon us. We just pray for, Lord, I just pray for those who maybe they've been feeling so overwhelmed by the things of the outside that it's getting them down and discouraged. And I just pray once again that they would experience your grace, your strength, your peace. That you remind them that that is not who they are, but we are your children. We are chosen by you, your people. Father, just pray that you would help us to be your people to this world, to be who you say we are. Thank you, Jesus. Who am I that the highest would welcome? I was lost, He brought me. The sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, He has ransomed. I am who you say I am. Why fool?
my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Thank you that you call us your own, that you call us your children. And as your children, just pray that you would lead us this week, help us, strengthen us. Lord, help us to shine your light brightly in this world. We thank you so much for who you are and who we are in you. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. So glad you could be here. Just as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. Go in his strength and his might. Hug a few necks on your way out and have a great week in him. We'll see you next week.